Okay, Rav Nosai. By the way, don't be overly medayik. Everything is actually being recorded upstairs. Not only this meeting. This meeting is being recorded downstairs. Okay, no one should get the wrong impression. So we had just started Siman Tzadihei, very, very, very Nevi'el Maisa, like many of you see, Simon, we've been seeing, the Sugya of Naparna. Let's review what we read. Dugim Shabbashlo Shanitzlu B'Kedir Shal Basa Rechutza Yafeh She'ein Shem Shuman Davak Ba Motul Achle B'Kuta Rishim Nahave No Sein Tam Re No Sein Tam Dehet Teira. Here he's very explicit. What all the Rishonim say, this is the concept specifically by a Teira. Be'im Lois Rechutza Yafeh Yesh B'Mame She'al Pnei Akadeira Yosem Yech B'Shidim V'Dugim Asul Achle B'Kuta. Okay, and we already analyzed all the different issues that come up in Se'if Aleph. Se'if Beis is where it gets controversial. Beitza doesn't start out so controversially, quotes a Rashba. Beitza shen es bashlo b'mayim b'kdei rechol leves. Eggs cooked in a milchic pot. Motor losseis osa b'socha tarnagoles. You're allowed to use them for stuffing to fill the chicken. They're still parev. Afil l'chadchila. Because it's not barnat. Aval of course, if it was cooked together at the pot with meat, you know, like Sephardi cholent, where they have hard-boiled eggs in the cholent, then it's a first taste of meat. Meat straight to the egg, and of course, it's milk. It's fleshik, and of course, you can't mix it with milk. Even though it has the shell, you might have had a havmina, the Rashba says, not a very good havmina, that the shell protects it. The shell is like an impermeable barrier that keeps the meat taste out. But the Rashi says, you all know that's not true, because when you ever eat a Sephardi cholent, when you crack the hard-boiled egg from the cholent, what do you see? That it's brown from the color of the cholent, because obviously things do get in. Okay, the Taz has a whole discussion here, which I don't think is so important, whether it's because there's tiny little holes in the shell or just because Tom gets through the shell. Okay, that's not such an interesting question to me. Like I said, but Tom gets through the shell. Okay, and there's a million proofs of which he quotes a few. So far, so good. Now we get to the Ramah, who brings up the famous Shita of the Rivan. The last thing we mentioned was that there is such a Rivan. I read you the Gemara Kufiyat Alpha Beis. The Tosos here quotes the Rivan, Rashi's son-in-law, who says the name of Rashi, although Tosos doesn't think this is what it sounds like from Rashi's printed Pirush on the Gemara. That it says dogim sha'alu b'kara shell basar. Alu means they were taken off the fire and put in the kara shell basar. It doesn't say they were cooked in a kara shell basar, so why not? So you could say no particular reason. What the vast majority of Rishonim say is alu is lav dafka. It just means they were cooked, roasted, broiled, put, whatever, what have you, in a bisari utensil. However, the Rivan makes a diuk. It's not a crazy diuk from the Gemara. His diuk is that it says alu, alu in nisbash lulo, only if it was put in a put hot in a tray. So that's a weak transfer. But if it's a strong transfer, like cooking, then even a secondary transfer is still strong. Okay, he brings a smach to this from one opinion in Rashi, which says that if you cut a dover charif, right, we're all familiar. We'll guess this. It's mentioned very briefly here, and it's the topic of Siman Tzadivav, that if you cut an onion, a sharp food, with a knife, then even though it's a secondary transfer, it's considered fleishik. So the Rivan says, we see here that a serious transfer doesn't have a heter of not barnat. The whole heter of not barnat is only for a very weak transfer, such as, not for a strong transfer, such as nisbashlu. So that is the Rivan versus everyone else, says the Rivan, although in nisbashlu lo, then the heter of not barnat is very, very limited. Meaning it would not apply terribly often in our homes. Let's just give an example. If I cook, according to Yvonne, if I cook pasta in a fleishik pot, it's fleishik. If I cook it in a milk pot, it's milchik. The only heter not barnat is if I cook in a parev pot, and then I pour it out and strain it in a fleishik colander, or I make it in a parev pot and then I scoop it out and serve it in a fleishik bowl, then there's a heter not barnat, it says parev. There is a compromise shita. The Tosos already brings this up, and the Rosh Paskins compromise sheet of the Rivan. He is mechalik between nisbashlu and nitzlu. He says, look, if we're talking about things that are serious cooking, there are two madrigas. There is nisbashlu, cooking in water, and nitzlu, roasting or baking or etc. without water. Now, on the one hand, we know that cooking with water is more powerful than roasting without water. Because when you cook with water, the tam permeates through the whole thing. The rotev makes it go through the whole thing. When you roast, tam only goes through kedei netila. However, on the other hand, maybe quantitatively, cooking makes the tam go further because the water penetrates everything. I mean, it does. See us. However, in terms of the strength, qualitative, the taste that comes through roasting is much stronger than the taste that comes through cooking, because through cooking, the taste has another level of indirection. Meat to pot to water to pasta when I cook pasta. As opposed to, there's a difference between cooking pasta in a fleshy pot versus roasting a piece of a bun on a fleshy barbecue. Even clean. When I roast a bun on a fleshy barbecue, the tam goes straight from the barbecue to the bun. That's stronger. When I cook pasta in a fleshy pot, it goes to the water to the pasta. That's an added level of indirection, and that makes it weaker. So he says he doesn't agree with the Rivan about Bishel he's Mako, but which then answers a few questions. Tosfos brings up here if you looked at all the questions, but does agree with Rivan when it comes to Nitzel. So we have then three shitas in the end. Let's review the three shitas. Here we have Olam. Here we have Nisbashlu. And here we have Nitzlu. Here we have the Rivan. Rivan, let's just make Mem Mutter and Allah for Usser to save ourselves time. You can write whatever you want in your notes. Olam is Mutter, but Nisbashlu, Nitzlu, and Usser. Says the Rush, Olam is Mutter, and Nisbashlu is also Mutter. Because even though it was mamish on the fire and everything was hot, still there was another weakening because it went through the water. However, nitzlu is. And most Rishonim say, what? Mem is mutter. Mem is mutter, aleph is usser. And most Rishonim say, let's say Tosfos and most Rishonim, saying mutter, mutter, mutter across the board. The whole Rivan's diuk is wrong. There's nothing unique about Olu. It's just any transfer is a secondary transfer. There's no same time, bar no same time. Let us see how we paskin. The Mechaber was not 100% clear because he didn't tell us what he holds about Nitzlu. He just told us Olu is mutter. As a matter of fact, he didn't even tell us Olu is mutter. In Bayes, the example was a bashlu, but in Aleph, he said explicitly, dogim shenitz bashlu on nitzlu. Right? He doesn't even bother to tell us Olu. So he doesn't want to distract us. Olu's la dafkin is bashlu or nitzlu. The machaber is 100% clear that he paskins like Tosos and most Rishonim. And it is all mutter. What does the Ramah hold? Let's see. Says the Ramah, the yesh machmirim bitzliya ubishol, lesser nosin tam or nosin tam. That's the Rivan. The minog, what is the minog, says the Ramah, lesser lechachila ubidyeved mutter b'chol inyan. That is the Ramah. Says the Ramah lechachila, he says it's bashla nitzvah. And that's, of course, why, since we're in this room, I think, all Ashkenazim, we learned that you can't necessarily always consider anything made in DE or ME, for that matter, dairy meat equipment, to be parf. Right? Because we paskin lechachila, something made in dairy equipment is dairy, and lechachila, something made in meat equipment is meat only. B'diavad, we hold like most Rishonim. That's the majority. The Ikra Din, everyone agrees like most Rishonim. Everyone, meaning all the Achronim, agrees like most Rishonim. That anything made in dairy equipment or meat equipment is parev. However, lechachila rechoshesh for the Rivan. Says the Shach here. Big Kiddush says the Shas of Kondalin Ubidyevit Mutter, Umaharshal be Isra Heter Shalo, Ubisifro Parakola Basusim and Samach Gimel, Oser Afil Ubidyevit bin Nitzlu Medina. Okay, Afil Ubidyevit and Medina sort of go together. I mean, Me'ikra Din, he paskins like the Rush. That Nitzlu is Oser even Bidyevit. That is a big Kiddush, and the Shach seems to endorse this Maharshal, right? He doesn't just say the Maharshal says it, but, right, generally, you know, same as Mishnah Berurah said once. Achron quotes an earlier Achron. That means they endorse him. So here we have a big chiddush. Says the I assume Lechatchila he agrees, but says the Maharshal and the Shach that even Bidiyeved, we're not making a Nitzlu. We're only making a Nisbashlu Bidiyeved. Do we paskin? Who do we paskin like? So Lechatchila, we paskin like the Rivan. How about Bidiyeved? Bidiyeved, Sfardim obviously pass like the Machaber. Lechatchila and Bidiyeved, everything's fine. But how about us Ashkenazim? Do we paskin Bidiyeved like the Ramah, who says Bidiyeved, everything's parav? Meaning, what does that mean, Bidiyeved? Any pasta, no matter what it was cooked, no matter what you mixed it with, is mutter. Right? Any pasta you put cheese on, it doesn't matter how it was cooked. Bidiyeved, it's mutter. Any pasta you mix with meatballs, doesn't matter what it was cooked with, Bidiyeved, it's all mutter. Or do we say, no, at least the Nitzlu, no, it's not with your run, Bidiyeved, maybe like the Shach, if the Shach's pretty authoritative, at least the Nitzlu, maybe we should be Machber Bidiyeved. There, I saw like maybe one posek nowadays, a pasta like the Shach, but all the later Achronim say we do not pass like the Shach Marshal, we paskin like the Ramah. If you look in the Chachmas Adam, for example, in Siman Mem Ches, the Badi HaShulchan quotes a whole list of Achronim. He's very, very clear. We paskin the Eved like the Ramah. Basically, we take straight Ramah. We do not paskin. We are not Machra like the Shach. Yes, Ben. Lechatchila, we could say like the Rifan. That's what it sounds like. Ramah and the Shach. And I think the Marshal also, he doesn't quote here, but if I recall correctly, the Marshal also paskins Lechatchila the same way as the Ramah. Okay. Which means that all the diunim in the Pisnei Tshuva, Sif Kut and Beis, we don't paskin like. The Pisnei Tshuva, Sif Kut and Beis quoted some achronim who are done, what counts as nitzlu and what counts as nisbashlu. Like, for example, Chavos Das says, if you cook pasta in a fleshik pot, the pasta is nisbashlu, but the water in the that you cooked it in is considered like nitzlu. It's directly got a taste in the pot. Okay, we don't differentiate nitzlu and spashlu, so that's not important for us. There's also a whole discussion here. What if you cut hot fish with a knife and you have dukra sakin? Does that count as nitzlu or not? And some Achronim wants to say it counts as nitzlu, but we don't pask in that way. Aga, will just point out that the 1 second. The Shach in Zivkat and Vav says, even though it's a very rare case, what if you would take hot fish and put it on a hot fleshik plate off the fire? Pretty rare case. Why would you put hot fish on a hot fleshy plate off the fire? But let's say you did. Would that be considered like all luke's it's off the fire? Or would that be considered like nitzlu because it's hot on hot? So, not so clear. I don't know what I would have said my intuition, but the Shas Vukatan Vav says that it's only called alu if one is hot and one is cold. But he makes a deep tosas. I'm not sure if the deep mochrach, but he quotes the Beis Yosef. And the Ramah in various places that if they're both hot, that counts as nisbashlu or nitzlu. This would be nitzlu. Oh, shnehem chamim. Even if it's not on the fire, that's still called nitzlu. Or if you put hot soup in a hot tureen off the fire, if they're both hot to start with, that's considered nisbashlu. Okay, it's a pretty rare case because usually you don't put hot food in a hot plea off the fire. But if you would, you should know that's not considered, although that's your nitzlu or nisbashlu. I think hot would mean yatzo lettuce. Yeah, not from the dishwasher. Hot would mean yatzo lettuce. Okay. Now, let's just review then what the halacha is. The halacha is by alo, halacha l'maisa. This is mutter l'chatchila. And these two are aser l'chatchila. and mutter in the event. Okay. Pretty posh. Now, the Rama goes through a bunch of exceptions. So let's read the exceptions of the Rama. Aval, says the Rama. Litlan b'kli shalahem mutter lechatchila b'chei nahagu. What is mutter lechatchila? So he says, number one, lechatchila, you're allowed to put it in the opposite kli. What does that mean? Lechatchila nisbashlu or nishlu bona gedogim or pashtosh nisbashlu b'kdir shal basar. If you cook spaghetti in a fleshy pot, lechatchila, it's fleshy. You can't put cheese on it. However, you can eat it in a milchik bowl. Even hot, a cold wouldn't be a chiddush, right? You can even put a milk Tupperware and take it to work, etc. A milk and kli is okay, just milk is not. So, what do we say? Asr lechatchila, but mutter lechatchila lechol ikli shalahem, meaning if it was fleshik equipment, you could eat it in milchik utensils. If it's a milchik, cooked milchik, you can eat it in a fleshik utensils. Why? The svara is, there's an added level of indirection here, right? Because it's meat to pot, pot to pasta, but it's not pasta to milk. It's milk to plate, plate to pasta. So it's more indirect, right? The classic case that's also chachila is basar to kedera to dagim. And you mix it with kutach, right? Kutach is chalav, right? This, we say, Ashkenazim say, is also chachila, right? This, Ashkenazim say, also lechachila. Give me half a second. But the case of basar to kedera, to dagim, and then you have chalav to ka'ara, or whatever it may be, to dagim, you see that's a little more indirect. Because it's a napanah from one side, and a napanah from the other side as well. Or, you know, however you want to count it. You can feed arrows whatever order you want. It's not meat to pot to fish to milk. It's meat to pot to fish to plate to milk. However you want to put it. You see there's another level of indirection. With that other level of indirection, even though there's no mucker for this anywhere in Shas, this isn't discussed anywhere in Shas, there are much things to be svara. Look, it's only a chumra bi'alma l'chachilu r'machbe like the Rabban anyway. If you add one svara to make it more mako, we're not machbe machbe like the Rabban, and this is a svara to make it more mako. So this is motul chachila, that's called the heter of losum b'klishlam. This means, what does it mean, halacha l'maisa? Halacha l'maisa, if you find any power of food, you can eat it on any kalim you want, right? If I find spaghetti, and I don't know what how it was cooked, and even though I could easily find out, you know, it's not like nobody knows when you get into sphagos. No, I could easily find out, or I know. It doesn't matter. You don't have to check how the spaghetti was cooked. You can put it in the microwave in any, even hot, in any kind of plate you want, and eat it with any fork you want. If you want to put cheese on the spaghetti, then you have to make sure it wasn't cooked in a fleshik pot. But you can, if you're Sparky, you can put anything on any spaghetti. If you're Ashkenazi, you can't put anything on spaghetti. You have to check to make sure what plate was cooked in, because the chachil and rachbar not burnat. But b'di'evid, anything was put on the spaghetti, you can eat it. And even the chachila, you can eat the spaghetti by itself or with ketchup on any kalim you want, hot or cold. Yeah, that's b'di'evid. If you put cheese on pasta cooked in a meat pot, that's b'di'evid. You have to throw it out if you didn't eat it, right? So you're allowed to eat it. But l'chachila, you can't put cheese on it. That's what it means. L'chachila, don't put cheese on it. Eat it a different way, right? B'di'evid, if you already put the cheese on it, now your choice is to throw it in the garbage or to eat it. So then b'di'evid, we're mako like most Rishonim. I don't think so. I don't think so. Meaning, it's always tricky. When do you say, meaning, I know what the briskers do. You know, it's always helpful to tell which sheets they're showing the briskers are machmer for. But not in mainstream Judaism, etc. Meaning, this isn't l'mahadrin, you know, a mahadrin ashgacha wouldn't let this happen because not l'chachila. But I don't think even the firmest person would refrain from eating the spaghetti once it had the cheese on it already. And I don't know, I haven't checked the firmest. I don't even know the, I don't know who the first person is, and whoever he is, probably not one of my friends. He's aren't to me, clearly. But I think even very, very, very from people would not refrain from the revival problem. But this round law is so vocal that I don't think the Yevid anyone would be Machber, even Mahadrin, and Mahadrin. Although, again, obviously, you wouldn't make that situation come up in the first place. Okay, let's read on then. Okay. So Yoni brings up a side point. What he's saying is, Bednarsh keeps saying pasta, 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 but that's very nice for Bednarsh. But the Shulchan Aruch keeps saying fish, fish, fish. Right? What do you mean fish cooked in a fleshic pot? So first of all, so you're asking two questions. Number one, what do you mean you can eat the fish with kutach? Sorry, you're asking not Todd's question. Yoni says, what do you mean you can eat the fish with kutach? Right? Remember, the Mechaber said you can eat the fish l'chadchila with kutach. What do you mean eating the fish with kutach? Eating the fish with kutach is a kind of for Sephardim. So we briefly answered that b'shaito in Siman Pei Zayin. Basically, all the Ashkenazim uses the raya that it was just a mistaken word. It was just a slip of the pen of the Beis Yosef. And of course he didn't mean to ask for fish with milk. It says right here, mutter to eat the fish with kutach. Those Sephardim who defend the Beis Yosef and say it wasn't a mistake, answer b'dochak, I call it b'dochak, I don't see how you cannot, but they say, no, of course the Mechaber here meant you can't actually eat the fish with kutach. He just meant, as an example of pihalacha, you can eat the fish with kutach, but you should know, al sakana, this wouldn't apply to fish, it would only apply to pasta.
So again,
which is a dochak way of reading this Mechaber. Yes, correct. Correct. This is time and time again, the Mechaber says you can eat fish with milk, and b'dochak, the Sephardim say, no, he didn't literally mean it. He just meant as an illustration you could do it, but really, like, it doesn't mean literally fish. It means things like this. I admit, it's very dochak, right? Meaning, you know, really, if someone might die, you'd be so careless with your words? Okay, so I'm an Ashkenazi, and I think that the Mechaber just had a slip in the pen, and he never meant to say that. However, Achenu Bnei Yedot HaMizrach will defend themselves by saying the Mechaber was loved after here. But let's ask another question. Yoni's asking two questions about Sakana. One question was, for Sephardim, what do we see? That it's Mutter Lechol Dag Bekutach. And here we have two ways of explaining it. Either yes, and the Mechaber never meant to say that, or it's Lav Davka, which is very dochuk. Okay, but forget about Sephardim. How about even for everyone? What else comes out of here? Something that's not such a finish. That Mekuli Alma, Mutter Lechol Dagim Shenisbashlu Mekdera Shobasar. What's the Machlokas? The Machlokas between Sephardim and Ashkenazim is, can you eat them with cheese? But everyone agrees you can eat them, right? Everyone agrees if you cooked fish in a, anyone ever grow up and in your parents' house, your grandparents' house, they had a fish pot? Anyone ever hear of a fish pot? I think I don't know what said the Hungarians have a fish pot. Why do the Hungarians have a fish pot? Well, you can't cook your fish in a milchik pot because you're going to eat it at the fleshic meal. You can't cook your fish. Okay, well, that's literally true. I don't know. Yeah, you say you can't cook your fish in a milchik pot. Clearly, pasnish to cook your fish in a milchik pot because you're eating a fleshic meal on Shabbos. You can't cook your fish in a fleshic pot because it's sakana to mix fish with meat. So that's why I think most Hungarians have a fish pot. Of course, nowadays, everyone owns power pots. But back in Europe, no one ever heard of power utensils. Except Hungarians had a fish pot because you don't want a milchik pot because it's for Shabbos. And you don't want a fleshik pot because it's sakana. It's not the same what fork you use when it's cold as the pot, right? See, you can use a fleshik fork cold with the fish. That's not sakana. You eat the fish cold, no? You can tell the fish. Obviously, or they had a separate fish plate or whatever. I mean, even nowadays, people have separate fish plates, even if we're not Hungarian, right? Even I have separate fish plates, right? No, okay, but Seder, let's say there's room to be Machmer. Seder. Okay, now, the question we pass like them or not, that's the discussion of the Shas of Gotten Gimel, says the Taz of Gotten Gimel, says the Taz, we see from here that it's not sakana to have fish cooked in a fleshic pot. He quotes here from the Isser V'Heter, who says, first he quotes something from the Marshal, who sounds like it might be a problem, but the Marshal wasn't actually talking about this case. Then he goes to the Isser V'Heter, who says, ah, b'di'evet, we see there's no sakana. If you look inside the Isser V'Heter, he doesn't just say b'di'evet, there's no sakana. He says that there is even l'chachila no sakana. So it seems like the quote of the Isser V'Heter from the Taz here is a little not meduyuk. If you look inside the Isser V'Heter, he says, even l'chachila there's no sakana. And that's the mainstream minhag, is that what do we see from here? That even the chachilu no sakana. No one ever said boo. No one ever suggested it might be a problem to cook fish in a fleshy pot. The only question is, can you add cheese to it? But everyone agrees there's no problem with fish in a fleshy pot. That's the mainstream minhag olam, is that there's no problem of fish and meat with kalim, only with be'en. Which is why, again, the filter fish doesn't necessarily prove anything, even if you don't have a fish fork, because it's cold. But which is why you can cook the gefilte fish in a fleshic pot, or you can roast your whatever kind of fish in a fleshic pan or whatever. However, based on this Taz, who does quote a lashon of the Isser V'Heter, says, b'dieved, even though it's not, if you look inside the Isser V'Heter, it's lav davka, it's really mitzvah chachila, there are those who are knowing, there's a minority minhag, which I think is popular among Hungarians, that l'chachila, you don't cook fish in a fleshic pot. So what do we see? We say for sure there's no problem in the effort in our seif. So does our seif just prove that the effort is mutter, or does it prove that even lechatchila is mutter? Right. So you could theoretically say both ways. Simple pshat is if it was also lechatchila, someone should have mentioned somewhere must be mutter even lechatchila. But you could say no. We're only talking about the effort here, and the Taz has the word the effort is part of the Isser V'Heter, even though, if you look it up inside, it's not so good. The mainstream minhag is l'chatchila mutter. You can all go home and cook fish. And that's just some people. It's not just a squiggle. You can all go home and cook fish in a fleshic pot. However, some people are machmir l'chatchila not to cook fish in a fleshic pot. And they said, okay, our sugya is not saying as much as l'chatchila. Just saying if it happens. Okay, that was the answer to the question that's similar to the question you asked. Okay, now, before we get back to Basar B'Chalav, does someone have a question? Yes?
Is there an issue with fish and cold meat?
Fish and cold meat? Yes, if you mix them together, meaning if your mommy should make a sandwich with a slice of, you know, salami and a slice of fish, then I think we assume that's a problem. Or if you put cold gefilte fish on a plate and then you don't clean the plate, and then you put cold salami on the plate, I think we'd assume that is a problem. You have to wipe the plate in between. Again, that's the mainstream minigolem. Okay, it's widely reported that Rav Shechter is not so makbid, he is manazeh on the sakana. But I think the mainstream minigolem is to be makbid in sakana. Do I understand why it's sakana to mix fish with meat? No. But okay, that seems to be the minhag. Okay, we should learn from this that, you know, whether, you know, if the minhag olam is even to worry about sakana of fish and meat, even though we don't have any scientific basis whatsoever, then kol shekein, you shouldn't squeeze yourself in a room with hundreds of people without masks during corona. Okay, and a few other things that I have on my list. What? Anyway, okay, Lomashene. Okay, Viter. There's more to say, but that's not really our topic. But yes, meaning if I ran the world, there's a few things I would change that aren't Minhagim, right? As reform is the next guy. And one of the things I would change is that I would let people eat onions that were out overnight, and in exchange, not let them put the bar mitzvah boy in a tablecloth and throw him 12 feet up in the air. I think that would be a net sakana gain. But since I don't run the world, so no one has to listen to me. What? Are some people are, some people aren't. You know, a lot of people are. A lot of people aren't if they're not Hungarians, meaning everyone who's willing to go on record is. Rav Schechter, has anyone heard from Rav Schechter? Rav Schechter has to not be machmer on that, but I have to check with him. Weiter. Okay, maybe we'll get to that. Let's get back to our regular scheduled programming. We are continuing the Ramah. Second head to the Ramah, which is not a Kiddush. V'chein lo nisbash lo nitzul t'chil rak olo b'klisho basar motu lachlon im cholvatzom chein hefech. Okay, this is obvious. This is a Gemara. No two ways about it. If it was not nisbash lo nitzul only olo, obviously it's motu lachachil to eat with milk and vice versa. Okay, I don't know why the parenthesis takes far as atzmo. It's a first Gemara. That just means he's not quoting a Rishon because it's too obvious. V'chein. Now here is the Kiddush. Not a logical Kiddush, but something that's not in the Gemara. There's very little ma'isa. What if you cooked, which is usually the case in our days, you cook pasta in an eino ben yomo fleshik pot. That's the more common case nowadays where we own a lot of pots and we don't cook all day long. Now, I don't know what happens in restaurants. You know, in restaurants, first of all, in fleshik restaurants, half the time they put meat gravy in the power of food just to make it taste good. So you always have to, you can never assume anything's power for a fleshik restaurant if you don't ask. Right, I mean, you ask people in inflation restaurants, what's the recipe for all good side dishes? You make a good meat stock, like a broth. You add a little meat broth to everything, to the rice, to everything, make it taste better. So first of all, when you take a side dish home from a inflation restaurant, again, I don't mean you take a piece of blueberry pie for dessert. I'm confident they didn't add any meat to that. But if you take rice home from a inflation restaurant, you always have to ask, did they put meat gravy into it? If you take fries home, you always have to ask. You don't put things in fries, but did they fry them in the oil with the meat? Right? Okay, but let's say that it was really pariv. Even if it was really pariv, it could very well be that it was ben yomo, because in restaurants, they're cooking all day long in all different kelim. But let's say at home, 99.9% of the time, you cook pariv I cook vegetable soup in my fleshik pot. It's pretty rare that it's within 24 hours of cooking chicken soup. I mean, I could find out. Just ask myself. But if it's eino ben yomo, says the Ramah, then nogin heter lechatchilo lochanam esheni. Then it's motu lechatchilo. So that is an exception. Aser lechatchilo. But if the pot wasn't ben yomo, then it's motu lechatchilo, which means that in most practical cases, Ashkenazim end up the same as Sephardim, because as long as it was Einar Ben Yom, it's Moshe L'Chachila for us also. So for example, if I do find pasta in my fridge, and I ask my wife, how'd you cook this pasta? And she says, I cooked in a fleshik pot. Then if I say, but when was the last time you cooked meat in that pot? Oh, 3 days ago. Meaning 3 days ago when I cooked the pasta. Then I can add cheese, even L'Chachila, to this pasta. It's no problem whatsoever. Why? Because I have two heter. One heter is Eino Ben Yomo, and one heter is not bar not. Since I have another tzad l'hakel, because it's Eino Ben Yomo, therefore, even though we're machmer like the Rivan, that's a chumer b'yama. Whenever there's another tzad l'hakel, we're not machmer like the Rivan, and it's mutter even lechatchila. Now, are there any cases where we're more machmer? So far, we found cases where we're mikil. The cholzei says shamachol ain't a davar charif. This is all if the food wasn't a davar charif. Why? Because this is what all of Siman Sadivav is about. In the continuation, I think I read this line to you last time. Hilchasa. Remember, we had the hilchasa. Dagim shalom b'korah motel achlam b'kutach. Okay, not bernat is mutter, but non shachachu b'sach shachachu basar. A radish, a sharp food that was cut with a fleshik knife, asulachlo b'kutach. And how do we know that it's because it's sharp and not because of something else? This is only true of a tznon, a radish. The agav chorfei bala, because due to its harifas, it absorbs. Aval kishas gorlo epis gave it achol. With some sort of kishas nowadays means a kishu, we say. Zucchini, but it's some sort of gourd, something from that family, different family than radishes. I'm not an expert in these things, but I know that zucchinis are like gourds or a different family than radishes. The it's known as radish. Mistama, the radishes are sharper than our radishes, although whatever, like we're machmer on all radishes, just mentioned in the Gemara. Kishut is not, I don't think any gourds we have are charif. Not pumpkin, not what do you call that thing you make orange cold out of? Butternut squash, not zucchini, not I don't know what the other ones are. Not any squash. I don't think any squashes. Squash. Yeah, I don't think any squashes are Clarith, right? No squashes are Clarith. Whatever, they are what they are. That's not my problem. Anyway, girl may biskiyachi, just scrape off the dirt and it's fine. There's no bleah whatsoever. No problem. Okay, we'll get to the details, but the mashmosnor is pretty clear. The harifus makes a difference. Why does the harifus make a difference? The harifus makes it boleah. Okay, that is one thing which is very clear. The harifus makes it boleah according to every perush that you will see quoted in the Torah Beis Yosef for any nosei of the nosei kalim on any of these halachas. That means even if it's cold, that is the 99% mainstream shot. Harifus makes them boleah even if it's cold. What is all of Siman Tzadi Vav about? All of Siman Tzadi Vav is about two more controversial questions. Here. This is really the topic of Siman Tzadi Vav. I'm summarizing Siman Tzadi Vav for you here. The power of Harifus. One power, it for sure has. For sure, that's shot in the Gemara. There's a Ramban who says that it's talking about a hot radish, but no one agrees with him. Right, so we're going to pretend he doesn't exist. One power of Harifus is... Power of Harifus, let's add something. Okay, one power of Harifus is that it's Bolea Afilu Bitsoni. Bolea even Bitsoni Yeducha Disakina. When you cut a Harif thing, it's Bolea even cold. We all know that from regular kitchen things, right? If you cut an onion with a fleshik knife, it becomes fleshik even though it was cold. While if you cut a cucumber with a fleshik knife, or a zucchini, right? Then it would not become fleshik. Worst comes to worst, you might have to, rub off the schmutz. Okay, the question is, yes? So yes, that's the basic psak. We'll say there's some chomers lechachila here and there, but that's the psak. Right, correct. This is the ikkar din. The question is, what about two others? That's muskum. Again, the Ramban there, who's not mentioned anyone in this volume at all, I think, says it's talking about a hot radish. And really, there's no such power. What do the harifas do? It just makes it go in further than it would otherwise. More than it could take or could take tila. Okay, but that's not mainstream at all. We assume harifas makes, with a pressure of a knife, makes it bolea cold. The question is, what about not barnat? Who cares if it makes it bolea cold? It's still a secondary transfer. Right? So Rashi here seems to have two. It's never clear if it's Rashi gives two answers. Are those two deos? Or, like, they're both true. Right? Whenever Rashi says two things, right? His lashon here is... give me a second. The ode. You never know if the ode means I have two opinions or... No, I have two answers, but they're both right. In any case, at least one answer of Rashi says Rashi. Right? Maybe. Right? Maybe. Yesh omrim. After all, the question is, why is this known and not by not? So one answer is, you know why it's not a not? What shita comes from this? Why is this known much as a not by not? So could you say a shita that we've said about the metzias of knives? If you make an assumption about metzias of knives, they're all dirty. If they're all dirty, then there's meat fat on the knife. The meat fat into the tznon is a first transfer. Okay, but what's the other answer? The other answer is that the harifus makes it such a strong transfer that it overrides not barnat. And that was the yisod of the rivat. The rivat says harifus does it, so does bishul, so does sli. Right, so yesh omrim de aser afilu not barnat de bala harbe. Hey, Rosh Hashanah. It's bolea so much that even a not bar not is also because it gets a strong taste. Yesh Omer. There's another Yesh Omer. This is not found anywhere in Maseches Chulin. But based on Gemara of Zara, the Gemara of Zara, yes?
So, you know it's a dish,
but
it's not bolea at all.
No, we didn't say fish wasn't bolea at all. Fish, you cook fish in a pot, it's bolea. It's just bolea, not bar not. So it has no halachic effect. But fish wouldn't be bolea cold. That's my first step. Fish cold wouldn't be bolea. Onion cold is bolea. Second step, fish, even if it's hot, would be a not bar not. It would be halachically insignificant. Onion is usser, even though it's a not bar not.
So
The whole thing. Well, we'll see machlokes about that, but let's assume for now. Yeah.
Why does it jump those two steps?
Because the power of Harifus. Yeah, I'm at a loss to give a good scientific explanation. It's so obvious to the Rishonim. And that Rishonim is based on the Gemara. I got Chorfa Balat Fe. The Gemara says, Chorfa Balat Fe. Clearly, Harifus makes more Bliya. Then the Rishonim just argue, and they're going to argue about the details. But the idea is in the Gemara. I got Chorfa Balat Fe. Why does Harifus make it Balea more? I don't have the chemistry background to. I don't have the chemistry background to say whether or not I understand it. Maybe if I had chemistry background, I could give you a theory. Or maybe I couldn't. I have no idea. It's beyond my pay grade. We'll work with the assumption that somehow Harifus has this power. And the truth is, in the end, we'll say it's only Kedei Netila, B'diavad, Be'ek, or Adin. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now, the third question, the Gemara about Zara that says that there's something called what's that spice called? Cheltis, thank you. The Cheltis of the Goyim is Asur, and the Cheltis of the Goyim is Asur, and even though it should be no Sintam Lefgam, it makes it good. It sweetens it, Machlia. Okay, the big Machlot Yishonim, what that means, but some people say what that means is that even though you cut it with a knife that's Eino Ben Yomo, not only does Harifas override the Heter of Naparnak, it even overrides the Heter of Eino Ben Yomo. That's pretty serious stuff. Even if the Eino Ben Yomo, which has a bad taste, the Harifas turns it into a good taste. And therefore it's Asur. And all the Rishonim that we'll see in the Beis Yosef, etc., assume that's true of Cheltis, although it's really Machlokes Rishonim if you look at what is already there. The Machlokes Rishonim is that true of all Dover Har for only Cheltis? So, Yesh Omrim. De Cheltis Mashbiach Letam Pagum V'Nesar Yesh Omrim Dehu Hadin B'chol Dover Harif. These are the three chumras of Dover Harif. Three chumras of Dover Harif. A, they're Balea even in cold from a knife. B, even though it's not Barnat, it counts as a real taste. It counts as a knot, even though it's a not Barnat. And which is a big chiddush, especially if you don't like the Rivan. If you don't like the Rivan, Mela, just say, oh, it's as bad as the Spashlu. We don't all like the Rivan. But nonetheless, we're still machmir. Cooking and roasting won't give a strong taste, but cutting an onion will. And see, even if it's Eino Ben Yomo, makes like Ben Yomo. The onion makes the taste of the knife good, and then the good taste offers the onion. Okay, you take those three together, and what do you get? You get a really big chiddush. That if you cut an onion with a fleshik knife, forget about Naparnat, forget about Eino Ben Yomo, forget about all that tirin, it's totally fleshik. And likewise, if you cook in a fleshik pot, then you don't need chomer what? Power one. Well, if you put powers two and three together, if you cook it on your fleshik pot, there's no heter of Naparnat, bein l'chachila bein b'diavad, there's no heter of Eino Ben Yomo, bein l'chachila bein b'diavad, it is totally fleshik. So if you cut an onion with a fleshik knife or cook it on your fleshik pot, it is totally fleshik. That's what seems to come out of the fact that we are machmer like all these Yishomers. Okay, now you'll ask me, are we really machmer like all of them? Maybe some people are, some people aren't. Maybe it depends which posek you are. We'll save that for Tzadivot. But the simple shot is that we're machmer like all these most machmer Yishomers. No, because of power one. Even a cold knife and a cold onion are, for the Rivan, the equivalent of hot and hot, and for Tosfos, are stronger than hot and hot. That's a cold knife and a cold onion for Tosfos is a stronger transfer than roasting hot on hot. You could disagree if you want, if you're a good chemist, but that's how we paskin. So, let's read this inside. Here's not to a knife, just because he doesn't want to get to knives, so 7 tzadivot. So he forgets power 1 now. Just sticks with power 2 and 3. Right? All these powers come out of studies of knives. But the only reason he's not using example of knife is because 7 tzadivot hasn't discussed knives, 7 tzadivot does, so he wants to stick and be 7 tzadivot. So he says, Afilo ain't a ben yomo, even as a ben yomo. Oh, here he gets the knives. Dachum tavlin b'manuch shel basar. That's a knife. What's the difference between the pressure of a knife and the pressure of a mortar and pestle? Right? You crush spices, which are charif, in a fleshing mortar and pestle. Im achlo b'cholav osar filo b'dievet. Even if b'dievet you mix it with milk, it's osar even b'dievet. Adi, because shishim negative basar b'lua b'hem. Unless you have shishim to negative the amount of basar, that's b'lua in the onions or spices, etc. Remember this, where we saw that the Ramah was against Rabbi Kiva Eger. Remember, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, no, if you cook it in milk, you need 60 to negate the whole onion. Here, the Ramah and everyone else in the forest, no, even if you cook it in milk, you only need 60 against the meat taste in the onion. How much meat taste in the onion? Only the size of the knife blade. I mean, if you fry them in a frying pan, the whole onion. Right, it can negate the meat taste in the onion, or the meat taste in the spices, or whatever it may be. And here is where we pointed out against the crazy placey that the someone here said, right? I definitely quoted someone here. No, maybe it was in Sadiqov. Okay, people against the crazy placey are in Sadiqov, not here. Okay, so what do we see here? That, however, this overrides everything. If it was, what do we say here? But if it was a Dover Charif, then that's like a nuclear bomb. Then there's no heterim in any case whatsoever. Dover Charif is off usher in all cases, right? So what do we say here? But if it's Dover Charif, Dover Charif overrides everything and is Oser Afilu b'dieved. Right, doesn't matter, not burn out, doesn't matter, even yomo, a dover charif that's fleshig is fleshig, as if it was cooked mamish with the meat. It'll even b'klisha lehem, the Rambam doesn't explicitly say b'klisha lehem, even b'klisha lehem will be a problem, correct. It'll even be usher b'dieved to eat b'klisha lehem. Why? Because it's fleshig mamish. If it's fleshig mamish, you eat in milk and kli, time goes from milk to kli to the onion. That's an aparnat to isura. So the milk kli taste enters the onion. The onion is fleshig, it's an aparnat to isura. So yes, everything's asur. For a dover charif, even b'dieved. Correct. Meaning this shiloh, by the way, is maisim chol yom, right? You fry onions in a fleshig pan, and then you pour them onto a milchig plate. That milchig plate is now treif. Okay, you want to know is it, when it might there not be room to be mekel? Okay, we'll come back to it. Dover charif is a side point here, the main point of the next seven. But certainly, I'll be pashtus. You would say everything is treif, even b'dieved, bein kli, bein milk, bein lechachim, bein b'dieved, ben yomo, ein ben yomo. There's no kulas for a dover charif. No, the spices are really more from the pan. The pan is not necessarily really more from the spices. Although we'll get there.
So what's the deal with the shisha negative pasar? How does that factor into the pepper?
So it's like this. Let's say I crush pepper in a fleshig crusher. And that's tuchu de sakina, makes the pepper fleshig meikra din. Then I put that into a milchig soup. Lemaisa, it's going to be less than a 60th of the milchig soup. Right?
It's going to be less than 60th.
Of the milk, of the soup, of the final product that you put it in, of the milk.
You
have fleshig pepper, you put into milk. If it's less than a 60th of the milk, then it's okay. And likewise, fleshig onions. That's pepper. Pepper's always less than a 60th, otherwise you wouldn't be able to eat the final product. So you have fleshig onions, and you put them in, fleshig onions, and put them into a milchig soup. If you put fleshig onions into a milchig soup, then it doesn't depend whether or not the onions are more or less than a 60th. Depends whether or not the meat taste in the onions is more or less than a 60th. Of the soup. How do you know how much meat taste there is in the onions? Well, it could be up to the whole size of the onion, unless you have our proof that it's smaller than the whole size of the onion. What's the only way to prove it's smaller than the whole size of the onion? If the taste came from a knife, then it's the maximum it could be is the size of the knife blade. So all you need is 60 times the knife blade. However, if you fried onion in a fleshig frying pan, how much fleshig tastes in the frying pan? A ton, right? That's a big pan. So you have to assume the whole onions are fleshig. Not that we really think the onions are fleishig. Onions are really onion. But since we don't really measure it, we count the whole onions as fleishig. And then if you put those onions into a milchig soup, if they're more than a 60th of the soup, the whole soup is treif, which might be a common scenario, meaning onions usually put in more than a 60th of onions. So then you can have a big problem, right? So this kula, basically, halacha l'maisa, will you have shishim connected to onions or not, usually depends if they were cut or fried. If the onions were fried in a fleishig pan, the whole onions become fleishig. And you usually don't have shishim in the soup time compared to the onions. But if they're only cut with a fleishig knife, you only need 60 times the knife blade. And all soups have 60 times most knife blades. So you have to come with garlic before. You have to check out every case. So it gets very chomer. Or if you cook onion soup, someone asked me the other day, I forgot what the shayla was. I don't know if it was someone here or not. They cook the onion soup in a, pick a milchik pot, whatever it may be. That onion soup is mamish milchik. Because it's onions. Right? That onion soup is mamish milchik. You have to treat the onion soup as mamish milchik. Bein l'chachil, bein b'di'evin, you can't chas for shalom eat it with meat, or even eat it in a fleishig bowl. And it doesn't matter if the pot was ben yomo or in a ben yomo. That's the chumra of a davar harf. That's why, in practical terms, dvarim harifin are the bane of our existence. Because most shilas that come up in your kitchen are going to be mutter in the end, one way or the other, especially since it usually just involves in a ben yomos and nabar nats, etc. I mean, with the exception of some things that could happen, they could be, but it's pretty rare in your kitchen to have something happen that would really be treif b'di'evet, just because lots of inam and yomos and lots of not for nots in our kitchens. However, once you're dealing with varm harifim, it's pretty common to have something happen in your kitchen that would be treif in the end. So if you're not careful with your varm harifim, then even b'di'evet, it will be usher. Okay. And the Ramah, and we call Makom, the Mikri Machal, the Recharf, Mishama'at, Tavlon Shavuot. However, a food's not called Charf because it has a little spices. Everything has a little spice. Rakim Kulo, the Recharf, only if it's all Charf. The Rubo Kikulo, or Rov, counts as all of it, so it has to be mostly Charf. But I am the common Simon Sadivav. And I would add to this that there's a Taz in Simon Kuf Gimel, so cut and test, that we'll get to, who says Rov here is not Rov in cubic centimeters. Or millimeters, etc. It's not even rove in ounces or grams. Rove here means rove of the taste. So let's say something is 5% pepper, then that would be called rove harif, because the main taste is harifus. So, you know, what do you, basically, you know, you go by the rove, but you also go by the rove taste. So for example, you know, sometimes like the Chinese restaurants, you know, they still have Chinese restaurants.
Yeah,
okay. So, you know how, when I was a kid, you know, I don't know what it's like in Israel, but in America, most people are Ashkenazi, so they're very sensitive to things that have taste. So in the Chinese restaurants, they'll have a star by the ones that are spicy on the menu. So basically, the things with a star on the menu, that's called rov charif, right? It's not rov. You're asking, how much do you put in each ingredient? The charif parts will be 2%. But it's rove harif because the main taste is spicy. It's a spicy, extra spicy dish. As opposed to the other dishes on the Chinese menu, of course, everything has spice to it. Spice is the variety of life. But they have spices, but it's not mostly a spicy food. It's mostly a whatever taste food. Mostly a broccoli taste or mostly a chicken nugget taste or whatever. So basically, that's the getter. How do you know it's rove harif if you would put a star on the menu in the Chinese restaurant, then that's called rove charif, and we don't go by percentage, we go by taste. Okay, but clearly if you just have onions, that's obviously not just rove, it's all charif, because it's all onions, and there's not much to talk about. Or even if you make a stir fry, and you put onions in other things, then it doesn't matter, since they're not actually mixed together, each piece is separate. Even if the onions are the minority, the onions are still all charif. You only go by the rule of rove if you mix it together. So let's say you have a vegetable soup. There's a lot of onions, but most of the vegetables are not onions. Then that wouldn't be harf. That would be considered non-harf. That's why I gave the example of onion soup, which was actually the shayla I got a few days ago. Right, so if you have a chulent with some onions, that chulent is not harf. It just has some onions. You have a vegetable soup with onions, that's not harf. It just has some onions. But if you cut the onions first on their own, then they're harf. Or if you fry the onions first on their own, then they're harf. Or if you make an onion soup, then it's harf. Or if you have something with tons of pepper or whatever other wasabi or whatever it is that's super spicy, then that's considered harsh.
Right there.
So it couldn't have been a mixture as Lamal of Lomorid. However, we all know, we'll see this before Shem Zadivav, once you cook the onions, they're not harf anymore. So yeah, once you cook the onions, then they're not harf anymore, then they're just a regular food. But when you start cooking them, it's a problem. The onions are only a problem when you first start cooking them. Like, the moment of the beginning of cooking is when they're problematic. Once you've already cooked them, there's no problem. Like, classic example, let's say I fry the onions. And then when I finish frying, I scoop them out of the pan with a flaky spatula. Then they're not harif. That will not do anything. Yeah, it'll be meat equipment, etc. It won't do anything to the effort. So if I fry onions in a parif pan, cut them with a parif knife, fry them in a parif pan, and scoop them out with a flaky spatula, they'll just be regular meat equipment, same as the dugim and the pasta and everything else, because by the time I put the flaky spoon into them, they weren't harif. However, if I cut them with a flaky knife, or fry them in a flaky pan, and then they become bland, it's too late to reverse history. They're still flaky me'ikra din. Meaning, if at the time they encountered the flaky kelim, they were charif, it's a problem. Okay, we'll chazer all this. Yes, that's the policy in my house. We tell our kids, always cut onions with a parif knife to avoid problems. Okay, but if you want, you can say, no, when I'm making chicken soup, I'll cut them with a flaky knife, and when I'm making milchik onion soup, I'll cut them with a milchik knife. That's the practical question of your lifestyle. I agree that it's a good idea to always cut onions with a parif knife. The best practical chumra to introduce in your house is always cut onions, have an onion knife and an onion cutting board, which are parif, and then you'll never have trouble. Right. If you just always use parif knives for onions, you will have an easy life. Not necessarily school for everything, but we have to show everyone should have everything as easy as
cutting like a non-depot prep like if I put a fruit place knife, that means that place.
So we'll see later on. It depends if the knife was clean or dirty. If the knife is clean, then it's okay. Yeah. If you cut an apple with a clean flaky knife, then it's okay.
Yeah,
our knives we assume are clean. Unlike the old knives. Again, I'm still not sure why the old knives are so dirty, but why do they clean the knives all the time? But who knows? They have different standards of hygiene, and there must have been some sociological reason why they didn't clean their knives often.
But then, how does the time for the question about going to the hotel and what we need to do to eat on the knife and find that Airbnb? So why do you need to eat that over the
knife? Okay, well, that might be a little more chumer because there it is. It's a good question because there's a shail of treif. So it might be a little more chumer. But it's a good question. Okay. Yeah, let's think about that as well. Okay, I promised I'd think about that. Yeah. Okay, it's like this. So I have a friend who worked at a certain fleishik restaurant in a certain... I mean, I could say it's in Tina. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of restaurants in Tina, right? I don't even know if this one still exists. I don't even know if it was a restaurant. Maybe it was a caterer or something, whatever it was. And I don't know exactly how it worked. But somehow he said that, yeah, they had chickens. They accidentally, left them out of the fridge and they spoiled. And they didn't want to throw them out because they spent money on them. So instead, they just put lots of salt and spices on them and they tasted okay. I'm not saying this is legal, apparently, so I guess harf things have the power to, maybe harf things have the power to sort of rehabilitate old tastes and make them taste better. So what happens is when I cook my davar harif I cook my wasabi in a fleishik ena benyomo pot. The wasabi has the power to take those leos in the pot that are really old and rehabilitate them and make them good. Once they're good meat leos, now the good meat leos make wasabi fleishik. So that's one theory. I have another theory. That's the theory that it sounds like from most of the acronym. I have another theory, which is that maybe it doesn't really make the taste good. It's just that if something's harif, it's always good for it to be watered down a little. And therefore, even on Eino Ben Yomote, still like waters down the Harifas, maybe that's considered good. So it's good to not be too harsh. Okay, but that's not what most Echorim say. Most Echorim say, like, it literally, like the story of my friend Tinek, it literally goes and, like, takes the old taste in the pot, makes it decent again, and then that decent taste makes it fleishtik, because now it got a decent taste of meat. Well, no, the wasabi might not have power to like penetrate into every pore of the nevel and make it good, but at least the time nevel that went into the wasabi would be good. That's what the Shach says here. Davka and Zayin, Davka Machel Asr Shuchar V'Nasal Shevach, Lo Masrik Deir L'Shevach. Says the Shach is very controversial. That's what the Shach says. It says, if I cook wasabi in the Ein Ben Yomo pot, it doesn't mean the next thing I cook in the pot will also consider the pot Ben Yomo. No, it's not necessarily going to rehabilitate all the taste in the pot or all the nevel Sucha. However, at the very least, the taste of the pot that goes into the wasabi will be rehabilitated because it's very closely connected to the wasabi. So we'd only go that far. Yeah. So what if nowadays you have your meat knife? Nowadays your meat knife is clean. What if you cut meat with a meat knife nowadays? So I think nowadays we assume our meat knives are clean. Again, we have chila our minhag is still not to use separate knives for meat for bread, meaning to not use a flesh knife for bread that we want to keep pariv, and not use a milk knife for bread we want to keep pariv. That's lechachila, LP, at least minhag. But anachanami, if you cut your bread with a fleshik knife, and nowadays we assume our knives are clean, then b'diavad, it would still be parv. Yeah, but lechachila, our minhag is to be more machmir, particularly with bread. That was like a particular minhag we saw. Okay, now, what else do we have to mention? I'll mention one thing what else do I want to mention? Okay, only one thing I want to mention before we get to the next topic hidden in this. So if the one thing I want to mention is, we remember earlier from Simon Peites that if I cook something in a fleishik pot, I don't have to wait 6 hours after eating it, even if it's harf. Right? Even if I cook an onion in a fleishik pot, I don't have to wait 6 hours after it. That was the Rebbe Kiva Eger that we saw in Simon Peites. So what if I cook an onion in a milchik pot? Can I eat it within 6 hours? Like, it had to apply also to the milchik thing. So there we saw there's a prima gadim hilchos shavuos who wanted to be machmer on the onion in the milchik pot. But we quoted Yad Yehuda who says, well, if the milchik pot wasn't ben yomo, then it's okay. Nowadays, we're not machmer on the onion in the milchik pot also, because in the stomach, it's usually ben yomo. And therefore, we don't bother to check because, okay, it's a chiddush machmer anyway. 99% of the time, it's ein ben yomo. Okay, so halacha lemaisa. We don't worry about 6 hours for napar, not even for davar charf. Even though davar charf, we said, overrides everything. But that just means in terms of eating things together and putting things together. In terms of 6 hours, so before Shrami Kiva Eger, that if the onion is fleishik, we don't have to wait 6 hours afterwards. And it's a Yad Yehuda that the onion is milchik, we don't have to wait 6 hours beforehand if the pot or the knife wasn't ben yomo. And we can assume that's usually the case. And, even if we didn't double check and didn't check and we're mistaken, since it's not so posh, the prima gadim not so posh in the first place, we don't worry.
In terms of God, Dabar Kari, when it comes to par cooking pleasure, you have to wait at home.
No. No. You just can't eat it together. But you don't have to wait at all. Like, for example, we assume that if you have something which is dairy equipment, you can eat it for, that's not parth, you can eat it for dessert after a fleishik meal. Remember Pepperidge Farms was dairy equipment for a while? I don't know if it still is. American Oreos, last time I checked, were dairy equipment. I don't know if they still are. You should know, by the way. Israeli non-Mahadran Oreos. There are no Israeli non-Mahadran Oreos. But the non-Mahadran Oreos they sell in Israel are actually milchik mamash. They have milk in them. So that's why you have to be careful. People come from America and they ate the Oreos for dessert after Shabbos. Because, yeah, it was OUD, but it was just dairy equipment. So dairy equipment is not for not. So l'chachil, we hold like the Rivan, we wouldn't eat it with meat. Since the Rivan's only a chumra l'chachil, you're another tzad l'chachil, you're mekel. here that other tadlakals were not eating with meat just after meat. Okay? Rama didn't say you can't eat after meat, just you can't eat with meat. If you can eat it in a meat plate, then you can also eat it for dessert in a meat meal. Okay, that makes sense. But then you come to Eretz Yisrael, and so if you're Mahadran, all Mahadran Oreos are certified parf. You know, Mahadran milk Oreos. But if you buy the Stam Oreos in the supermarket, last I checked, and you eat them for dessert after your fleshy meal, you've done an Aveira, because in the ingredients it has milk. What?
You're dead.
You're not dead, but you've done an Aveira. What? It has, I think, last I checked, it was whey. Okay, we know whey is a machlok, because we've shown them, we saw whether it's milk d'oraisa or milk d'rabbanan, but it's clearly milk. Yeah, meaning the ones that I think they were made in England or something, the non-mahadran, the mamish had whey in them. They had milk in them. Yeah, I mean, why not? Milk tastes good. Oh, then I have no idea. That's, you know, I'm not sure. Although the rule is anything that says OUD, you should treat as dairy equipment. I mean, anything that says OUD, you shouldn't mix with meat. Not that you would mix Oreos with meat anyway, Mamish. Maybe that would be gross. not for Jewish reasons. What? Right. So the rule, anything that says OUD, anything that says OUD, you should treat as dairy equipment and not eat with meat, just because A, it's, you're right, it's probably not Bernat Eina Ben Yomo, so that it would be mustard mixed with meat. But just in case, maybe it's not Bernat Ben Yomo, or maybe you never know what might happen. As a general rule, if it says OUD on it, then you shouldn't mix it with meat because, you know, you never know what could be. After all, it doesn't say parv, so therefore they're not makbid to see how much it may or may not get mixed with milk. Yeah, so it depends, because a lot of factories, they every day use the same equipment, but they do 2 weeks of this cookie and 2 weeks of that cookie and 2 weeks of that cookie. So then, minestam, it's Eina Ben Yomo. Like, I don't know, I'm not an expert in factories. A lot of factories, it's not like every day they make six cookies on the same equipment. Like, that's not efficient. It's that they make a few days of this, now it depends. They make one day of this, one day of that, one day of that. That's one thing. They make 5 days of this, 5 days of that. So you have to know more about it. But my impression is that's usually Eina Ben Yomo. But I'm not promising. Yeah.
Is there more like drinking between? So if you're having those dairy equipment for dessert after a meat meal, or you can always have it, you can finish your meat, swallow, and have your dairy.
That's a good question. Meaning, you know, kinuch ladacha, something like that. Would you need some sort of kinuch ladacha between the meat and the, potential tavshil shel chalav? Right? Would you need kinyo chadash between the meat and the potential tavshil shel chalav? I can't promise you, but I would think not, because we know even for a mamish tavshil shel chalav, meaning mamish tavshil chalav means an Oreo that was actually dipped in milk, right? What do we say here? That that, okay, it wasn't here, it was in Rabbi Akiva Eger, I think, right? Tavshil shel gvina achar, that's tavshil achar, tavshil shel basar. It's a good question. I'm not sure. I think people eat the Oreos stam after the meal, no? Yeah, usually if you've been drunk something after the meat, but I don't know. Could be not. Could be you don't have to. Okay, now, here's what makes this very confusing sugya. Until now, the sugya hasn't been so bad. Everything's on board, the chachila b'dieved, you can keep track of it. Here's where half the people get lost. Because in this sugya, there's two kinds of lechachiva. Or perhaps there's two kinds of lechachiva. Let's start with the Beis Yosef, right? So be prepared to perhaps be confused unless you're a Rav Avadyanik. The Beis Yosef asks a stira here. Not a stira, he brings a machlokas. Hey, machlokas stira, the Beis Yosef says, he thinks it's very strange. The smak wrote that lechachila, you can't cook the fish in a fleshig pot in order to eat it with milk. Says, but that's strange. The Sefer Truma said that is perfectly mutter l'chachila. So, says Beis Yosef, the smock says also chachila, the sefer truma, and he adds other names, but there's no point in adding all the other names. What do we do with this? Says the smock aser l'chachila. Says the sefer ha-truma, mutter l'chachila. Ah, hold that thought. And this has nothing with the refund. This is before the refund. So what does the Beis Yosef say? Says the Beis Yosef, it's a machlokas. We paskin, it's mutter l'chachila. We don't paskin, it's also l'chachila. However, Yoni says what everyone else in the entire world says. Says, it's almost the theme of the Beis Yosef. Says, they're talking about two different l'chachilas. Think about it. There's l'chachila cooking. Let's go to pasta. There are actually three levels. L'chachila, can I cook the pasta in a fleshik pot if I want to eat it with cheese? Then, once it's cooked, l'chachila, can I put cheese on it? And then, once I put cheese on it, b'dievet, can I eat it? There's one level called b'dievet. If I put cheese on it, can I eat it? There's two levels called l'chachila. L'chachila, can I cook it in the first place? And l'chachila, can I put cheese on it? Says everyone to themselves, including the Shach and the Taz on the side here and everyone else in the entire world, they say, why are you so confused? There's no machlokes in the smak and sefer truma, like Yoni just said. They're talking about two different types of l'chachila, and they even nickname. They call, how do you nickname it? Ligron l'chachila and l'chachila. Causing the situation l'chachila, and then there's, once you're in the situation, putting the cheese on l'chachila. So what does everyone else say? All the other achronim say, there's two levels, and there's no machlokes. L'kuli alma. Aser ligrom not bar not lechatchila lekulei alma and mutter lechol not bar not lekutach lechatchila, meaning what do we mean lechol la'arif, right? La'arif not bar not lekutach lechatchila. There's no machlokas. And none of them, b'dievet, you already put the cheese. At least in Olu. Everyone agrees that achila, you can put cheese on it. At least, you know, before you get to the refund. But you can't cook it in the first place, having the mind to put it with cheese. Two levels of achila. L'chachila before you cook, l'chachila after you cook, and then b'dievet after you cooked and mixed it with the opposite gender. Right? That's three levels. Ligro l'chachila, right? The for some reason, this is often confusing to people. But no one almost agrees with the Beis Yosef. Right? There is. Right? Cook in bisari pot. Mix with milk. Once it was cooked. And eat it once it was mixed. This third level is called b'dievet, to eat it once it was mixed, and this is mutter, bein lashkenaz and bein lasfardim, because we don't pass in like the shach and marshal. This second level, this is called l'chachila. And l'chachila is mutter l'fi mechaber, aser b'nisbashlu, and mitzlu lefi Ramah. Right? For the Ramah, it's only about the chachila if it was Alu, or if it was Einu Ben Yomo. Right? What's this called? This is called, the Beis Yosef thinks that's called a chachila, mitzvah machlokes. But this, everyone else in the world says, is called ligrom lechatchila. And that's Aser L'kuli Alma. According to everyone but the Beis Yosef. So this is Machlokes in the Beis Yosef and everyone else. Can I cause the situation in the first place? Right now, sometimes people like to show off their halachic knowledge. Say, oh, I know Einu Ben Yomo. So I'm going to cook the pasta purposely in the fleshic pot to put cheese on it because I know the halach of Einu Ben Yomo. Not Barnan, I mean. So, is that okay? Ligrom L'chachila. So says everyone in the world, Bein Lasfardim, Bein Lashkenazim, Aser. The question is, except for the Beis Yosef, The Beis Yosef refused to acknowledge the difference in the two levels of Lachachila. Beis Yosef wasn't stupid. He obviously knew, right? If Yoni knew it, then Beis Yosef knew it. He knew you could make this chiluk, but he didn't think halachically we should say two different levels of Lachachila. He didn't think that was a valid halachic distinction. It's not that he couldn't think of it. It's not rocket science to think of it. He just didn't think it was true. So the question is, how do we paskin? So everyone paskins like all the other achronim, but Rav Avadia paskins like the Beis Yosef, and Rav Avadia says that it's even much more ligrom lechachila. He does not hold the issue of ligrom lechachila. He paskins like the Beis Yosef. Not all Sfardim agree with him. For example, if you look in the Kaf HaChayim, the Kaf HaChayim is like a Sfardi Mishnah Brura, written later than the Mishnah Brura. As a matter of fact, Rav Avadia himself worked on finishing up some of the volumes of Kaf HaChayim when the author passed away. But the Kaf HaChayim, it's like a Sfardi Mishnah Brura. It's mostly on Or HaChayim like the Mishnah Brura, but he has the beginning of your day. He has Basra Chalov. So in the very first Kaf HaChayim here, he brings down this Beis Yosef, and he quotes that he thinks that even the Beis Yosef in the end decided to be machmer on this. And he says, no, even Sfardim are machmer on this. So what does Sfardim do? So Ashkenazim definitely paskin like everyone, the Shach and Taz and every other Achron against Beis Yosef. The Kaf HaChayim also paskins against Beis Yosef. But Rav Avadia paskins like Beis Yosef. So most Sfardim in the old days, I don't know what Sfardim did, but most Sfardim paskin like the Beis Yosef. And that's what he says. Hagam the Beis Yosef. It seems even the Chachilas Motor the Bashul in the first place. He thinks in the Shulchan Aruch he didn't have that Heter in the Shulchan Aruch. He's Chozer Bo'an Oser. Okay, so some Sfardim and all Ashkenazim assume Ligrul Mechachilas Aser. However, Sfardim and follower of Avadia, sorry, I didn't print that up, bring with me, but you can look it up, assume that even Ligrul Mechachilas Motor like the Beis Yosef. And what did the Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch never addressed Ligrul Mechachilas. He always started after it was cooked. He never says, can you cook it in the Fleish HaKli in the first place, right? He starts, it was cooked in the Fleish HaKli. He never asked the question, can you cook in the Fleish HaKli in the first place? So he never asked the question. So what does that mean? So Rav Avadia says, it's like the Beis Yosef. Of course it's much better cooked in the Fleish HaKli in the first place. Like, there's nothing to talk about. Kaf HaChayim says, no, of course it's Aser. Okay. Anyway, but we're Ashkenazim. The Taz and the Shach and every Ashkenazi say that it's Pasha, that it's Asher Ligram Lechachila. If you want to know what Sefkatan that is, if anyone noticed what Sefkatan that was, it was the Sefkatan Shach, Sefkatan Gimel, and the Taz, Sefkatan Dalet. And all the other Achronim. So now, let us chazer for a moment, okay? Sorry, I need to erase this board. And then, I have to write a word that I always get wrong because I just don't have enough axes.
No, why?
Axes?
Oh.
Is that not proper English?
It is.
Maybe, okay. Maybe, enough dimensions, I mean.
Yeah, maybe you color as a dimension.
Yeah, it's still not enough. Okay. So let's just review what's going on here.
Maybe we should use the projector in 3D
working. Okay. Let's just review what's going on here. Let's see what we can do. Ready? Maybe we will do it like this. What factors do we have here? We have loss of Maklisha Lahem. Yeah, that's the killer, loss of Maklisha Lahem. Okay. Let's try this with a flow chart, right? Dagim Bikli Shel Basar. Right? What's the case? Or, no, not Dagim. Harav. Harav Bikli Shel Basar. Right? Now, let's make a little flow chart. Here we have if it's a Dover Charif. If it's a Dover Charif, there's nothing to talk about. Aser afilu b'di'evet. Right? Nothing to talk about. Let's assume it was not a Dover Charif, right?
To do all of those three things.
Correct. Aser afilu b'di'evet. If it's a Dover She'enu Charif, now it depends if what kind of Kli it is. If it's a Kli She'enu Ben Yomo, or it's a Kli that's Ben Yomo. If it's a Kli She'enu Ben Yomo, then Ben Olu, Ben Nitzlu, Ben Nisbashlu, what do we say? We say, Aser Lechatchila, La'arev bekutach, kutach being milk. Mutter b'di'eved em nis'arev bekutach. Right? That's just what we had on the board last time in a different form in a flowchart. What if it was ben yomo kli? Then, and l'fi Ashkenaz. Right? This is all, oh no. It's not what I meant at all. If it's eino ben yomo, right? That's regardless of who you are. What if it's a Kli Ben Yomo? Then there's three cases. There is Alu, Nisbashlu, and Nitzlu. If it's Alu, then we'll put other shitas. Alu is Pasha. Mutter lechatchila la'arev bekutach. Right, that's Pasha. Don't show up Gara. Right, the word itself, pas and tilchasa, no two ways about it. If you're an Orthodox Jew, you must admit this. How about if it is nisbashlu? So if it's nisbashlu, here we have a machlokes. The machaber said that it's mutter lechatchila, right? Because he's not machalkin all of nisbashlu, but we're not the machaber. When you were Ashkenazim, we say aser lechatchila. Le'arev bekutach. And mutter b'di'eved in this arev bekutach. Okay. Now, what about nitzlu? So nitzlu, there are two other pirushim besides the ones we passed in line. Said the mechaber mutter lechatchila. Said the shach Aser b'di'eved, but we pass in like neither of them. We pass in nitzlu, same nisbashlu. Aser lechatchila la'arev bekutach. Mutter b'di'eved im nisarev bekutach. Okay, that is almost everything from that chart on the last board, except for lechol b'kli shalahem. What's the heter of lechol b'kli shalahem? Here, we just have to, here's where it gets a little tricky how to make the chart. How about, right, nisbashlu v'nitzlu b'kli ben yomo, what do we say? We say, mutter lechatchila lechol, which means even hot, even warm up, even etc. Okay. That's before we brought in the issue of ligrom lechachila, right? Now the question is, what about ligrom lechachila? Right? Let's make, how about ligrom lechachila? Is it mutter ligrom lechachila, meaning lehalos or levashel bikli bisari? Right? To put it or cook it in the Kli B'Sari in the first place, is that mutter l'chachila? So, is it mutter l'grom l'chachila? So here we say, yeah? With the intention. Obviously, you're allowed to cook these with flesh and Kli. If you don't have intention to eat them with the cheese, that's pasha. This is with intention, right? Lechol l'halos l'mash Kli B'Sari. You're absolutely right. Let me write this in more detail. How about ligrom lechatchila equals lehalos, or levashel, or letzlos, bekli besari almenas leachlo bekuta. Right? Now I've been more precise. So, is it mutter lehal ligrom lechachila? So, in a davar charif, it's even usher if I mix it with the heaven. It's obviously usher to start in the first place, right? I just say, you know, that's usher. I feel a bit of the evidence. That's nothing interesting to talk about. Likewise, in this case, right, let's make this ligrom lechachila. Pashut. Usher. Afilo. Here it's Pashut. It's Usher even with the other. Here it's also Pashut. It's Usher Afilo in Kvarnis Bashel. Even if it was already cooked in a fleshic pot, it's Usher to put in cheese. Obviously, you're not allowed to cook in the fleshic pot in the first place in order to put in cheese. That goes without saying. It's only interesting to ask about Ligram Lachachila when we've had to. When even Isra Lachachila, when Isra Lachachila, because when we've had to Lachachila, how far did that heter extend? Does the heter lechachila even extend to ligrom lechachila? So we have three cases where we have a heter lechachila. So is there even a heter ligrom lechachila? So here says the Beis Yosef and Rav Avadya, mutter ligrom lechachila, and says all the poskim aser ligrom lechachila. Right, and we Paskin obviously like all the other Poskim, even some Sfaradim do, and certainly all Ashkenazim.
Those three cases are the
Eidim and Yomlo, Alum, and Lechol B'Klishalem. So Alu, that's the classic case. The verse says, Dagim Sha'olu B'Kar Shel Kutach. Dagim Sha'olu B'Kar Shel Basar, Motel Lechol B'Kutach. He also says, Em Motel Lahalosan B'Kar Shel Basar, Almanas Lechol B'Kutach. And everyone else said, no, don't all the bakar shall basar mortal chachila mixed it with kutach. But ligrom lechachila, it never said you should malo them bakar shall basar in the first place. It's sort of perverse. Why put them in a fleshy kli if you know you can eat them with milk? Come on, that's not mortal ligrom lechachila. That's just silly. Okay, we pass the end space, you'll see. Questions, what about these other two cases? Right? What about if it's eno ben yomo? Then is it mutter ligrom lechachila or not? By the way, this is the most common case in our kitchens, right? Most of our kitchens are in a binyomad. You have a fleshic pot. You know you haven't used it for 3 days. Can I cook pasta in the fleshic pot knowing that I want to add cheese to the pasta?
Rabbi, so when Rabbi had one on the board that we have three cases where...
Where there's a heter lechachila. Yes. One, two, three.
So Rabbi's discussing now whether we actually
pasta in
that way?
No, whether the heter lechachila even means ligrom lechachila.
Ah,
right? That motel chachila arik bekutach. Does that mean motel chachila levashel al menas la arik bekutach? You see? You got the chart?
I didn't. I thought that Rebbe was, I mean, I can't actually read it. But I thought Rebbe was saying that that's about the intention, the black and the bottom.
Right? Yes. Are you allowed to cook it in the flesh to clean in the first place, intending to mix it with cheese?
And Rebbe didn't say that there are three cases.
No, no, I said, it's backwards. There are three cases where it's true that it's mutter to mix it with cheese after you cook it. Okay, now, how about this case? So for the Beis Yosef, it's obviously mutter. But how about for us Ashkenazim, right? For the Beis Yosef, it's obviously mutter, but we know we don't paskin like the Beis Yosef. Right? How about us Ashkenazim? Right? What if it's Eino Ben Yomo? If it's Eino Ben Yomo, that's more mako. Would that be mutter even ligrom lechachila? Could I take an old fleshic pot that hasn't been used for a day and lechachila cook spaghetti in it, intending to add cheese? Not so clear. Everyone's bedayik in the gra that it's mutter. If you look in the gra, Sivkat and Yodi says, v'chinim haya, etc. Eino ben yomo. Ahai gav nav shal iser mutter. Even treif, if it's eino ben yomo, if you cook in a treif eino ben yomo pot, it's kosher afterwards. Kosher gosh, but also what is our daf ayin vav am an aleph, dir mas mekan, and kosher gosh, shalom lamaches with days. Even using an Eino Ben Yomo pot, does anyone know why it's also to use an Eino Ben Yomo pot? Gzeira atu ben yomo. She'eino ben yomo, shum gzeira atu bas yomo. She'ein ken kan da'af ben yomo much medina. Says the gross something that's very logical. I can't use an Eino Ben Yomo treif pot, because I might come to use a Ben Yomo treif pot. And that would be treif. I can't cook milk in an Einam and Yomim Fleshik pot. So I might come to cook milk in a Ben Yomim Fleshik pot, and that would be Chazer Treif. Cooking spaghetti in an Einam and Yomim Fleshik pot, there's no Xera. Why? Because, and what if I did cook spaghetti in Ben Yomim Fleshik pot? Would anything terrible happen? No, but the oven, everything's mutter anyway. You don't make Xera if. Even if you mess up, it would be Yevon Mutter. No, he's there. Oh, don't do this. Lest you might do this. It's not L'chachila. No, you only there. Don't do this. Lest you might be treif. Right? Even in Ben Yomo pot, if I cooked spaghetti and put cheese on it, it wouldn't be treif. So Ben Yomo pot, there's no Xera. If there's no Xera from this, then from the Gra, it sounds like there's no Xera at all. The Gra makes it sound like they weren't Gozer at all. If they weren't Gozer at all, then what he's talking about the Kedera, using the pot. Sounds like, oh, the only reason you can't use an Einam Ben Yomo pot is you might come to use a Ben Yomo pot. And over here, that doesn't apply. So finish the sentence. So you can use an Einam Ben Yomo pot. So my shmos of the Gra is that it's mutter, even for us Ashkenazim. Why? Because really all Einam Ben Yomo pots are mutter. The only reason we don't cook an Einam Ben Yomo pot in the first place is because you might confuse it with Ben Yomo. Here, even if you confused it, it would be mutter. Right, there's no way it could lead to an Isser. No cooking spaghetti in any fleshed pot could ever lead to an Isser. So therefore, there's no Gzeira. It sounds like Mutter even L'chachila. And therefore, there's room to say, totally do whatever you want L'chachila. However, the Chachmas Adam, who was actually very influenced by the Gra, almost the Talmud of the Gra, he paskins in Klal Mem Ches Se'if Beis, Emhaya Klisha Esbashu Einu Ben Yomo, Mocha Lachlubah, etc., etc., you can't cook an Einam Ben Yomo fleshed pot intending to eat it with milk. Why? Because it's all also l'chachila. Okay, says the Chachmas Adam. No, it's aser ligro l'chachila. He doesn't use this phrase. Other Chachmas use this phrase. As he's saying. Also, levashel l'chachila. Yeah, it's mutter l'chachila once it's cooked to mix the cheese in. Remember, there's two levels of l'chachila. But it's usher to cook it in the first place, l'chachila. He doesn't agree with this, Gra. The only thing he says, what if you don't have any other pot to use and you don't have any other pot available to you? Then it's shasam chak. You can rely on the b'dievet. Okay, if you're stuck, he says, but you should try to borrow from a neighbor first. Okay, here we have a big machlok because the Gra says totally mutter. The Chachmas Adam says, nope. Still, also ligrom lechachila, even though you've added the tzad of not barnat and the tzad of einu ben yomo. The Gra seems to have a logic on his side. All the modern day halacha books all pass like the Chachmas Adam, maybe particularly because the Gra is not mefurish. It's just if you work out his logic, the Chachmas Adam is mefurish. Lemaisa, I think the minig is like the minig is clearly like the Chachmas Adam. Meaning, if you ask anyone who doesn't know Yoredeya. If I cook spaghetti in any fleshed pot intending to put cheese on it, they would say no, right? Ask your grandmother, she would say, hush it not. Like, aren't you Jewish? Why are you asking that question? So it's hard to say it's a minute like the Gra, meaning if the Sifrei Psak nowadays began the Chachmas Adam, and the grandmothers do like the Chachmas Adam, the grandmothers are more machmer than the Chachmas Adam, they at least are as machmer as the Chachmas Adam, then Lechora we pass them like the Chachmas Adam. So Lechora beyond like the Chachmas Adam, and would ask her that, Ligrom Lechachila, which means that whether the pot has been Yomo or not, you cannot, meaning there's more room to be Mako maybe if you're stuck. But, you know, in normal circumstances, you can't cook spaghetti in a fleshed pot if you plan to eat it with cheese. Yes, Yoni.
What would the Gra say about
Ligrom in the case of Olo? What would the Gra say about Ligrom in a case of Olo? Ligrom in a case of Olo is also Lechachila, he would admit. Because it's not Einam Ben Yomo, it's Ben Yomo. The reason you can't do Alu L'chachila is because Chazal did not allow you to rely on the Heter of Nat Barnat L'chachila. However, they would have let you rely on the Heter of Einam Ben Yomo except for Xero to Einam Ben Yomo, and there's no reason to be Gozer here. Okay, this is the last frontier. How about Lechol B'Klisha Lehem? Is that mutter ligrom l'chachila or not? What if I'm cooking spaghetti and I know I want to eat the spaghetti, I want to take it to work and warm it up in the microwave in my milchik and Tupperwares, right? Nothing but cheese on it.
Sorry,
First of all, let me add a little here. What I mean is that I'm not talking about mixing with cheese at all. I'm just talking about eating in a flat milk container. Yes, that's why is this so common? Not because you might actually have a shayla at home. Could I cook spaghetti in a flaky pot if I'm going to take it to work and warm it up in my milk and Tupperware? Without cheese, just in milk and Tupperware. That's the question. Can I ligur lechatchila? Once you cook spaghetti, you can warm it up in any Tupperware you want. But can I cook it flaky in the first place, having in mind that I'm going to warm it up in a milk and Tupperware? Right? Interesting question. Why is this more relevant? Because this affects issues of things like sinks, etc. Right? Meaning, can I make my sink a not bar not of meat, having in mind that I will wash milk and dishes in the sink? Already ties into this, right? That already makes a more interesting question, right? Can I wash hot, you know, I mean, you have to get all the cases right, but you understand, you know, you have questions like, you know, all right, we'll see in the Moshe. But you see, can I have made something a not burn out of meat on condition to wash milk and dishes in it? Which is like lecho b'klisha lehem, right? So that's where it gets interesting. So let us, like for example, dishwasher, right? Can I use the dishwasher and make it a not burn out of meat, having in mind that I'll put milk and dishes in the dishwasher? Lecho b'klisha lehem. Right, so that's where Moshe comes onto it. So here there is a prima godin in the Mishnah Zog Dalet and Hey, it's a strange prima godin. The prima godin does this sometimes, like you just don't understand why he's so machmer sometimes. In the Mishnah Zog Dalet, second paragraph says, "Lingin dina motu levashal b'kli cholev la losar chagach b'kli basar." Can I levash in the first place in a milchik kli, intending to then eat the food in a fleishik kli, but parv yera da asar? It seems asar. After a rishon died from sefer treatment that it's mutter, and we never find any other rishon argued on this, but still, I still don't think shemekel. And even though the Bach says it's perfectly fine, the Bach says perfectly fine, but still, and the prichadosh is mutter, but still, I think it's good to be machmir. And then in Sivkat and Hey, he says, and he goes back to him. I wrote in the previous oath, the Yira Lesser, the Pri Chodesh says Motor, and I saw in the Sefer Ha'arach, which the Shachbir is on the tour, he says that it's Motor. So maybe if you're stuck, it's Motor, but I think it's really Osir. It's a very strange. He just quotes every Achron who ever lived who says it's mutter. Says, yeah, but I think you should be machmer, without actually giving any makoros. So it is. It is very peculiar. Why he's machmer for no reason whatsoever when he only quotes Achronim who are mekel, and he can't even quote one Achron who's machmer. But that's the machlokas, meaning. Says the Prima Godin, Osir Levashel Bikli Bisari Almenas Lechol Bikli Chalavi. Without Kuntach. And say all the other Achronim, right? Who do you quote? The Drisha? The Bach? The Shach? I don't remember if you quoted anyone else. Okay, that's enough. The Pri Chadash, yeah, of course, the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash. The Shach is not in the Shach; it's in the Sefer Aruch, the spiritual Torah. It says Mutter Levashel Bikli Bisari Almenas Lechol without Kutach, right? Just with spaghetti and ketchup. Okay, so Machlokes in the Prima Godin, remember what else says? Peculiar Prima Godin says, or Moshe Feinstein, in the Igros Moshe that was on this packet I gave out to you, that we don't pass like the Prima Godin. He's a Das Yachid and it's very Tamua. says the Igros Moshe, that we paskin here, it's mutter even ligrom lechatchila. We'll see that if you really know how to think logically, there's a lot of cases that are equivalent to this that you could be makel on ligrom lechatchila. What's a good example? This is even more makel than that, right? Can you cook potatoes in a fleshik pot, knowing that you're going to put them hot into a power food processor? And that's even more makel. You're not even putting milk in the compressor, you're putting fire food power. Maybe everyone would admit that. Okay, but can I cook potatoes in a milking pot, knowing I'm going to put them hot into a fleshik food processor? Yeah, not to mean onions. Onions are more problematic. And the answer is yes. That's cooking them ligrom lechatchila amanas to put in a kli shalehem, right? Not amanas that I'm going to eat them with cheese. Just amanas to put them in a milk food processor. That is perfectly fine because we pass them like Rav Moshe.
Can you tie through the svara that if you're doing something partially for heter, then it's below heter, meaning even if you wanted to pass them like the tribugat, that if you're making potatoes, you're making too much to eat just on Shabbos to the place you can eat milk. And you're gonna use it on your milk plate. But you're also gonna use it on your
pleasure plate. I'm not convinced that the prima gadim would agree. Okay. Anyway, so this is as far as ligrom lechachila.
Just a quick metaphor for the case of the post-game. I thought that doesn't go on all the way. I thought that goes in the shofar definition of the spot, so I just want to clarify.
No, the Beis Yosef himself was talking about, well, for the Beis Yosef himself, it's all the same. Olam mishpach l'mishpach. But it's real. The real Beis Yosef starts with Olam. The Dogen She'olam, is it only after they were Olam? Or even, you could be a Ma'olam. Yes, correct.
But the post means that you
can. Yeah, that's true. Pashut for Lashkenazim. That's what you meant. Pashut. Lefi Ramah. But for the Sfardim, then you would say the Beis Yosef says Mutter, and the Kaf HaChayim says Aser. And Ravad, you'd be like Beis Yosef. That's what you meant. That's
but
a good point.
Both of Ashkenazim wouldn't even allow putting something in a, even to put something in a place, and then use it after for like 3 months.
Correct. Although lechachilim we would not allow. Let's say you cook spaghetti in a parve pot. You want to strain it in a fleshy colander in order to then eat it with cheese. Ashkenazim would not allow. And Sfardim would not allow, according to the Kaf HaChayim. Because that's being ma'ale lechachila. Not only can't even vash lechachila, you can't even be ma'ale lechachila. What? Yes, absolutely. No, after we're not makbid on. But if I'm going to add butter to this popcorn, then I can't make it in the fleshy pot. That is called eat popcorn during meal. Okay. That's not, if you eat popcorn during a meal, then I don't know. That seems to be against Musser. Okay. In any case, and look, at a certain point, you have to know where to draw the line. But no, like, let's say I have in mind originally, oh, I really think I'm going to have this, you know, maybe with milkweed, maybe with fleshek, then I should cook it in a power pot. But then the question is what maybe means, meaning it's unlikely someone's mom is 50-50. You know, what if someone, no, my plan is to have this with fleshek, and I don't know what will be with the leftovers, you never know. Then you could cook in a fleshek pot. You know, that's not called ligrom lechatchila almanas. You're right, it's very subtle what's called almanas, because everyone knows a lot of things could happen. I think almanas is what you're normally planned to do. Like if I say every time I cook pasta, I always have leftovers and eat them with both meatballs and cheese, then lechori should only cook pasta in a parve pan, in a parve pot, or you should cook less pasta at once, because you shouldn't be goring lechatchila. But if I say, no, I'm making this pasta for meatballs, I know there might be leftovers and someone might decide to eat them with cheese, but that's not my plan, and I think that's not called almanas, and that's okay. That's why we draw the line. You never know what might happen. If there's leftovers, that's not called almanas. That's not a problem. But if I know there's always leftovers and I eat half with meatballs and half with cheese, then I should cook it in a parv pot. Or I should cook it half in one pot, half in another pot. I hope that was helpful.
We haven't got a realism, agree with that you're like you're gonna have it with one meat, but then like might, you recognize might.
Yeah, I don't think might is almanas. Right. There would be might and will.
So you talk with the rights more appropriate
to have a during the meal. So I'm happy with what I've accomplished so far. You'll thank me someday. No, that's not in a meal. That's in a pot. That's different.
So rice, you know,
then you should make it in a parv pot because you shouldn't be goreng l'chatchila.
Even if, let's say, 75% of the meal is the one that was
eaten. Yeah, but if you know there's 25%, then, look, the grower would be mekel if it was in a binyon. Right, so I'm not saying there's no room to be mekel, but it doesn't seem to me, and it seems to me the post can be machmer in this lechachila. So yeah, all you want to have 75% with fleishing, 25% with milchik, so cooking in a parv pot. Right, that's what I think. Yeah, if they say it's much even a benyomo, Kolshkin is much earning a benyomo. You're saying, what would the Kaf HaChaim say if it's Eino Ben Yomo? That's what you're asking. Now you're asking a good question. What would the Kaf HaChaim say about Eino Ben Yomo? So I have a few pages of Kaf HaChaim here. The question is, do I have the right page of Kaf HaChaim here? And, very sadly, I did not copy that page of the Kaf HaChaim. Let's see if I could...
Is it just
Yeah. Do you have it in Bar Ilan?
Well,
anyway, I think I recall him agreeing with the Gra, in which case all Sfardim would be Mekel. But you're right. It could theoretically Lav Davka. I wish.
Well, nowadays our body has become king.
Before it's great. That's what I thought I remembered. Oh, it actually is on the page I have. Maybe. Anyway, yeah, Hillel Levetsky is a good guy. You're right, it's right here. It is on this page, yes. The Kaf HaChaim is explicit that even the Kaf HaChaim is Mekel. He says you have another Tzad L'Havka, right? Even with the Kaf HaChaim, right? Afilo Lefi Kaf HaChaim. That stands for Kaf HaChaim. Those who don't want to be so Eurocentric should know that stands for Kaf HaChaim. Even the Kaf HaChaim admits, so first to say, so all Sfardim would make it like the Gra. Some Ashkenazim also might. Most Poskim nowadays are not make it like the Gra. Okay, so take that into account. Okay, I think that's all I have to say about Sif Beis. Now, we really have to stay today until we finish the whole Simon. I hope everyone already got Marv. Let's just read the Mechaber on Sif Gimel. Ka'ara shel basra shehud chubi yorach ha-levis. Mechamen shayat shel levis behen. If, remember how they didn't have running water in those days. So how did you wash dishes? You would boil up a big yorah. A yorah is like what's bigger than a pot? A cauldron? A big cauldron of water. And then you'd wash your dishes inside it. So what if the cauldron of boiling clean water that you heated up the regional gabe ashes milchik, and in it you wash fleshic dishes, which is obviously something you shouldn't do. Afilush named the yoman, even if they're both been a yoman. Basically, you have a milchik pot full of boiling water. You're sticking fleshic dishes, and they're all ben yomo, which, by the way, is equivalent to the spoon in their pot, right? Cooking vegetable soup in a fleshic pot with a milchik spoon is all ben yomo. Says the machaber mutter, shem dahavli no satabra no satam letera. It's mutter because it's not burnt out to etera. Let's just put this on the board. Okay, the Rama, I think we'll have to wait for. But at least we can learn the machaber, and then we can start next year, assuming we know the machaber. So what's the case here? The case here is very pashut. What's the case here? Here is your milchik yora ben yomo. Here is your water, boiling water, chamin, and here is your fleshik kli ben yomo. Says the mechaber, paskening like the Rush, this is a big machlokes. There's also a very subtle Ramban and Ran on this, which we're not going to get into. Those who want can look up Al-Atar on the Sugya of Nat. Very, very subtle lumdas. But we'll just stick with the main points, the Pashut points. Says the Rush and others, totally mutter. Rush and Ramban and others. Rush and the Ramban. And the Machaber, that's where the Machaber gets it from. Totally mutter. Why? Because it's not bar not to hetera. What do we have? Basar to the kli, to the mayim. Chalav. I know we actually had this on the board once, you might recall. To the kli, to the mayim. So, this is not bar not de hetera. And this is not bar not de hetera. The water is a double not bar not de hetera. A double not bar not de hetera is just as parv as a single not bar not de hetera. When something's parv, having two of them is also parv, three of them and four of them and five of them is also parv. If you add a lot of mutter things together, it stays mutter. So you're right, this is a double not bar not de hetera. A double not bar not de hetera is still mutter. Now, what's the tanai? Tanai is that it's a not bar not, meaning there shouldn't be schmutz on the dishes. If the milchik dishes had leftover bits of cheese sauce, and the fleshik dish has leftover bits of meat gravy, then it's not an aparnat. Then you're cooking actual meat and milk together. That's only for sure there was no schmutz, fat stuck to them. There was fat stuck to them. And if there was fat, then it's only mutter if the water is 60 times the amount of schmutz. Technically, you would need, someone discussed this, I'm not going to go through all the details now, but you can work that logically. What if there was more than a 60th milk schmutz and not more than a 60th meat schmutz? So then, the Shach points out that if there is more than a 60th of milk, one schmutz, it's still a problem. So there's more than a 60th milk schmutz. That goes into the fleshic dish, becomes treif. Once it becomes treif, it also asks for the milchik dish. Okay, then it goes into, what if there's more than a 60th milk schmutz and the fleshic dish not been yomo? Then the fleshic dish would be usher because it'd be a milchik. The milchik dish would not be usher because the ben yomo can't affect anything. Okay, you work out the math in the shafts of cotton yod. That's the basic psak. As long as tonight, that says tonight. Okay, not a very good word tonight. The tonight is there is no shamnunis or less than a 60th of shamnunis. Because then all we deal with not per not and it's mutter. That is the psak of the Rush and the Ramban. That is the psak of the Rush and the Ramban. which the Machaber passed like the Ramah says, V'ish Omer Afilin Shem David Bahem. That's the Psak of, I mean, he gives a whole list. The most famous one, the Sefer Truma.
And the Sefer Truma is quoted in Tosos right there, enough Kofi Bez and Aleph, meaning the Digramas is Kofi Alp and Bez, but it continues. Sefer Truma and the Ran is right there. Sefer Truma and the Ran say Usser, even without Shimon. Why does Sefer Truma and the Ran say Usser? Okay, Tosus gives a few reasons, but maybe we'll save them for next time because we've already learned a lot today. Okay, next time we really have to move a little more. It's going to be a little complicated, but next time we will finish Siman Sadihei and go over the packet on Tuesday, Mirtz Hashem. We'll finish Siman Sadihei and go over the packet. And then in the next week, we'll learn Siman Sadivav. And next week is, the end of the week is Hanukkah. We'll learn Siman Sadivav. Maybe on Hanukkah, we will finish Siman Sadi Zayin and finish up with Bas Bechalav. And then directly after Hanukkah, we'll have Chazara and then a Bechina. Okay, so expect the Bechina, you know, mid Tavis. Noah, good to see your face.
Thank you, too.
No, I can't see your face. I can only see his face. I mean, it's one or the other. Either you see someone's in person or you see their face on a screen. You can't see the face in person. That's too much to ask for.